Well, it's good to be back at Maranatha. Thank you for your warm welcome. I love coming here. When Pastor Dave contacted me if I could speak today, he was surprised how quickly I answered. And he, in his text back or email back, he said, "Boy, that was fast." And I said, "Well, I like coming here. I appreciate you folks and enjoy being here. I pastored mostly small churches and." From the point of where one church was just Pat and I, we did a church plant and from scratch. And the district superintendent, when they sent us there to Humboldt, they wanted to know if I wanted them to try and gather a group together from local city nearby, and or did I want to just do it from scratch on our own. And I said, "From scratch on our own." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because then I can do things my way for a little while until I get a board and things together." But it was a lot of fun. It really was. We started in our home in the beginning, first week of September of that year. And we had 19 people show up in our rec room. And by the end of October, we had 31. We were clearing our rec room, Pat and I, on Saturday nights to take everything out of our rec room that you couldn't sit on, to get everybody in, and it was a lot of fun. That church, I think now, was about 150 people or something like that in Humboldt. And it was a great blessing to be a part of that, and it was fun. But I think pastoring is fun. It has its times, but I love being a pastor. So anyway, Pastor Dave, I understand, has been going through a series on the names of God. And so when he called me, he said, "You can do one of the names of God if you want, and I'll send you a list of what I've done so far, or you can do something of my own choice." And so I said, "Well, I think I'll follow in your series," and I chose the name Abba. And partway through, you probably come to realize why I've chosen that name for today. Abba, some would say Abba, Father. I really feel that God wants us to hear from Him about this special name, the name that He encourages us to use when we're calling on Him, and especially when we're in, could be in trouble, or when we're in tough times of whatever that might be. And I've used it a few times in my life, but not a lot. And I'll share later one of them particularly. So I want to take a short journey through the Scriptures, because I've done something that in homiletics, which is basically preaching classes in Bible college, they said you should never have more than 3 points. So forgive me, I've got 6 today, but it's very brief between. I'm just going to say the point and some scriptures and maybe the odd a little comment. So it kind of goes against what is traditional, but I've never been known to be traditional. So as you're getting to know me, you probably noticed that. So we'll take that. I want to begin with the name Abba, and it comes from an Aramaic word meaning father, expressing a very close, intimate relationship when they use the word Abba. We would probably use the word as a child, especially daddy. It's very personal. It's more friendly than father, and it's kind of like that kind of a word. In Mark 14, in verse 36, just prior to Jesus' crucifixion, where he said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And you might be probably remember that very well from the Scriptures. And I can understand that God, that Jesus was not only fully God, He was fully man, and how He would feel that, knowing, I've said to a few people over the years on occasion, when you think about Jesus going to the cross just a few days before that, what that would be like, being all-knowing, what it's going to be like. And most people who were crucified would only have an idea what it would be like to have to suffer like that. So he kind of wondered, maybe this could come from me. And he said, "But no, your will, Father, your will." In Romans 8, it says this, and starting in verse 15, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So the first point I want to make is this. Abba, a Father God, Abba is first and always wants to be first in our lives. Well, of course he was first, because he always existed. God always existed. He always was and always will be. In Genesis 1, we're familiar. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's kind of similar when you get into the New Testament. In John chapter 1, the first few verses, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning," speaking of Christ here. "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." He always wants to be first in our life. God wants first place in our life, whoever we are, wherever we are. Exodus, you might remember the commandment in Exodus where he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Nothing is more important to us that should be more important than God. And the very familiar Matthew 6:13, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek him and his kingdom and things of him. We're supposed to do that and keep him first place in our life, before our families, before our wives, before our children, etc. You could just add all those people that we are dear to, that are dear to us, but God comes first. I raised my family like that once I became a Christian. It was a long story. I'll save it for another time, as she indicated, maybe another time. But I always felt that God came first. Once I gave my life to Christ, God came first, my family second, and my job third. And I tried to keep them in that order, and I still try to, even though they're all married with children, with grandchildren, etc., so forth. But keep him first and foremost. Second point is this. Abba, Father God, loves us completely. Now, I think most of us would know that he loves us, but it's complete. That familiar, I'm using all very familiar verses for a reason here, and most of us could quote many of them. "But for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Complete love. How much greater could a love be than he gave his Son? We have two sons. And I love people. I love you guys in the Lord. I love you in Jesus. I have two sons. I'm sorry, but I probably wouldn't give either one of them for you. God only had one, and he gave that one son and let him take the world, take his life, man, take his life, so that we could experience his love. The Lord is not slow in keeping, in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, and not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You ever wonder, even lately, in the last year especially, but now again this year, the fires and all the tragedies in life, and why is that? Well, God's not finished with his work yet. I guess I can't explain to you why it's allowed, but we're going to be leaving tomorrow for Southern Ontario, where we originally hailed from many years ago. And there's a lot of smoke right now going down through there and along through the highways and the towns and the cities along the way. And we remember last year here was just terrible. People, you couldn't get a hotel or even sometimes a friend's house to stay in. The fires were, and the smoke was so bad. And wars and rumors of wars that keep going on. World War I was said to be, when it started, World War I was going to be the war to end all wars on earth. How's that working? There seem to be wars everywhere, all the time. But God is in control, and he loves us completely, and we will find out some of those answers one day. The third point is this. Abba, God, loves to bless us. You feel blessed? Sometimes we feel blessed more than others, don't we? Sometimes we get blessings and we don't always catch it right away. And then find later, that was a blessing, that kind of thing. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards us. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. He blesses us. I feel very blessed. I have not got a lot of things, never had a lot of things that some people have. We lived in low-income housing, very much like this around here. And lived in there a number of times, more than once, in different places, cities we lived in. And we didn't have a lot of money. I think I bought a new car once and kept it for a long time. Actually, it's 15 years old. And getting ready to kind of get rid of it, I guess, because it's so old. But I've been blessed. You have been blessed. We have sometimes health problems, but that doesn't mean we're not blessed. Sometimes we need something and we don't have it. Doesn't mean we're not blessed, because it will eventually be provided for us. Matthew 7, starting at verse 7, says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened when we go to him. He blesses us. Goes on further and says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a snake or a stone? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does our Father God give to us who know him and ask him? Even more. Abba. Abba. Father. Daddy. Father God is sovereign, is the fourth point. He is sovereign. Sovereign means having ultimate, supreme power and authority, and it is most usually described as a ruler like a king or a queen. Well, there's a big difference between a king and queen and God in their sovereignty. The thing of it is, the King of England, or how many, there's got to be one or two of you here can remember that in our lifetime, this is our second king. Anybody beside me? Am I the oldest one here? I guess I am. I remember when Queen Elizabeth was crowned, his daughter, okay, King George, when I was in school. I remember when the queen, when he died and the queen was crowned. And here's the interesting thing about the kings and queens of our countries. They don't rule, really. They have power, but they don't really rule. King of England doesn't rule Canada. They're sovereign. They have some kind of power, a little bit, not much, really, because we have our own government. They have their own government. They have parliament like we have, and that's who controls and rules. But they are ultimate rulers in the end, I suppose. I don't think they, like the presidents, can make decisions like they do. So, Jesus says this in Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of my favorite verses. He doesn't change. He's so accountable. He's so ready for us at any time, at any moment, for whatever need. He's the same. People change. You ever notice people change? I've changed. It was hinted to a little while ago when I talked about my testimony. I wasn't always a Christian. I wasn't always a number of years I had no desire to be a Christian. I ran from it for a long time. But he's still the same. And when I decided to give my life to him, he was there waiting for me. The Lord does not change. So you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. He's always there, sovereign, looking after us. Father God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But just as he called you as holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We are to live holy lives because God is holy. I often wonder sometimes how we're doing in this world. It's not easy to live a holy life in this world. There's a lot of places that I just can't go to. Not a lot of them, but some of them. And you ever walk into a place that's not a holy place that we would recognize as being holy? You ever go to walk into a place and you walk through the door and it's like there's an invisible wall? You walk in and go, whoa, there's something here that isn't holy. You ever feel that? I have on a number of occasions. And it's not a good feeling. And it's nice to walk into a place like this where you walk in and you feel the presence of God. His holiness is here. And I've been in churches where there was a moment or two or a short time where it didn't feel holy. I can remember one, I won't say when and where, but I walked there. I was going there to preach that Sunday and walked in. And we walked in, had a lobby kind of like that, and then you walk into the sanctuary and something like this. And we walked in, and we walked into the lobby before church, about a half hour before church started, and we walked in, and Pat and I went, what is here? This is a church, a good God-honoring, God-believing church. There's something going on today. You could feel that moment was not a holy moment. And then during the service, that was spoken to, not by me, and there was an individual in the church, two individuals in the church, who had a bad time together. We'll put it that way, okay? And they were in leadership. And we didn't know until halfway through the service. And the one individual got up who took the responsibility for being the cause of that division and apologized to the church, to the individual. He'd already apologized before he came to church that day personally. And that feeling lifted. And it was now clear. And when I got up to preach, it was easier than what I thought it was going to be. And we're to live holy lives so that God is honored and pleased. And, of course, other people recognize it if we do. They may not always understand it, but they'll recognize it if they're not Christians sometimes. Be holy as I am holy goes back to based on Leviticus, you know, where he said in the laws, be holy as God is holy. The last point is this, Abba Father. This is my favorite one of all of them. I like them all. I believe them all, but this is my favorite one. Abba, God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us. And there in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. The church that we are members of and attend most of the time, very regularly, and except for when I get opportunities like this where someone needs a pulpit filler, I love to be able to help to others. I might have mentioned this before when I'm here. Did I ever tell you about the flags we've got around our sanctuary? All the way around, from here, all the way around like this. Just like that. And we strung a wire up high just enough so you could hang these flags on. And there are approximately 40 of them. And we got another one coming soon. We're bringing in a missionary family from the Congo. So soon there'll be a Congo. They're not just there to see and say, isn't that nice? There's countries in the world. Every one of those flags represents at least one person in our congregation, the country that they came from. I always wanted to, since the day I became a pastor, even before that in Bible college, I always said, wouldn't it be exciting to be a part of an international church where people are there from everywhere you could think of. Every country, every language you could think of. When I was telling, I think Shirley a little bit earlier, When I was in Bible college and we were taking missions classes, we were told and taught in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, of which I've been a part of for many years, that when we start churches, we need to start, this is back in the 60s, when they started, I'm talking about in the 70s now, when I was in Bible college, and we need to start homogeneous units, homogeneous churches. In other words, people of the same look, the same color skin, the same language, the same culture. We need to start those kind of churches. And our denomination, as well as others, has done a lot of that. We have Chinese alliances, we have Filipino alliances, we have First Nations alliances, and I'm sure there's a lot of others I could think of if I took the time. Well, I've always been a bit of a rebel, and when the professor in the Bible college class said that, I put my hand up like this, and he said, "Jack, have you got a question? Again?" And I said, "Yes, I do. Doesn't the Bible say when we get to heaven, we're going to be there," which I just read, "from every tribe, tongue, and nation?" He said, "Yeah, it does. It does, Jack." And I said, "So why can't we do that now? It makes sense to me. I have a cousin who's black, and he says it's okay to use that word. I'm never sure when we get into the different races how we're supposed to say it, what's the right term to use, because it changes over the years. But he's from Barbados. Pat has a Chinese sister in Hong Kong. Mine's through marriage. Hers is through adoption. And we just look at people as they're people. And when I get in the pulpit in our church and I look across like this, this is like a little bit of heaven here. First Nations and Filipino and a lot of Spanish people, Ukrainian, Russian. I can't think of any more right now, but there's more than that. There's 40 of them, okay, of different nationalities. And one day we're going to be all together, because there's one God, Abba. He's daddy to all of us. And when we get to heaven, he's waiting for us. He's going to say this to a moment, hopefully all of us. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." I was in Hamilton. Pat and I were in Hamilton last week for a few days. Did the funeral of my best friend of about 62 years. He's probably already heard, "Well done, faithful servant." 62 years. We double dated, him and his wife, Pat and I. They married a year before us, and then us a year or so later. Kept in touch all these years. They've lived in the same house for most of those 60 years. We've been nomads, being in ministry, moving from church to church over the years, and lived in three provinces. But I'm sure that's what my friend Wayne heard. "Well done, good and faithful servant." He also says for him and for us who are still waiting to get, "He will wipe every tear from your eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old things of the world have passed away." And I just love that verse. I love the truth of that when I go, and if you know Jesus, when you go, that it isn't over, it's just begun. I feel so strongly about that, and at my age, apparently I'm 81, so apparently I'm the oldest one here today. Okay. Probably ain't going to be long. And at the end of the service, I reached down and I put my hand on his casket. And I said, "See you soon, I'll see him again. See you soon. Abba. He's with Abba. Abba's with us today. Daddy, Father. I had an experience about 6 years ago with our younger son when he was 47 years old. Pat and I were with him in our living room. He was supposed to be working. He came home from work and he came to our house. He was laying on our couch, gasping for air almost. We didn't know what was wrong with him. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, can you take me to the hospital? And I said, yeah, sure. And then he said, he's a lot like I am. He said, I'll drive. I can get there faster than you can. Him and now his kids race stock car. And he did get there faster than I would have. But we got him there. And he went into heart failure. Completely out of the blue. Completely healthy man. No signs of any illness. No signs of high blood pressure. No signs of diabetes. Healthy man. And he's on his back in the hospital. God touched him. He's as healthy as a horse again. He was off work for a little while. I don't remember how many months it was, but it was a while. But he's doing well. Racing last night with his kids. He doesn't drive anymore. He's well known at the tracks he goes to, and it's the dirt tracks. And the kids are racing. They own the cars now. They bought them. Granddaughter's 21. 22. The grandson's 18, and they've got their own race cars. They go there. People said to him one day when we were at the track on a Sunday evening and walked up to his name's Jim and said, Jim, how come you're not racing anymore? And I'm standing beside him, so I quickly responded and said, he's too old, his reflexes aren't what they used to be. And he said, that's right. That's right. But, you know, that's what happened to him. And God spared him because he has a purpose for him. And he too and his family will, God is waiting for them in their time. Hopefully not for a long time yet for them. Let me say this, Abba, Father. That's the name God has given us for us to use when our strength run out. And especially when we feel desperate. It can be used any time. But particularly at those times, it's time to get personal with God. When we got problems we can't solve, when we got health we can't solve, we don't have what we need in this world to food or shelter, whatever it is, that's a wonderful time to use this name, Abba. Just like if you're going to your own earthly father as a kid and saying, Daddy, Daddy. It's that close. It's that close. And when we do... He answers. He answers. And I don't know what the exact words were, but to me they would sound something like this when I'm calling out to him for whatever need I have. Abba. He says, Jack, I got you. I got you covered. I got you covered. Let's pray. Father God, Abba. This morning we thank you for who you are and the close, close relationship that we can have with you, being our Abba. You're always there for us. You're watching over us. You never lose touch with us, even sometimes when we are not quite in touch with you. We can come back to you at any time, and you're waiting, ready to meet us for our needs. And lift us out of whatever problems we might have. We also have a future with you that we look forward to. One day when we'll be in heaven with you. No more illnesses. No more needs. Being with you forever. Thank you, and I pray, Father, that each one of us would leave this place today knowing that you as Abba. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.